Morning, there we go. Got to turn it on first. We're going through a series on praying the Psalms. And when Pastor Craig initially mentioned that, I happened to be reading Psalm 34. And I thought, how do you pray this Psalm? Because when we think of prayer, we think of asking God for things. But there's prayer that's just stating things back to God. It seems like a weird thing to do, but we'll look at that a little later. But just reading a psalm back to God is an act of prayer. And so as you go through a psalm, we'll take a look at how we do this. So I'm going to read through Psalm 34. Excuse me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones, and none of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. In a way, we just prayed that prayer to the Lord. And so as you go through Psalms, some of them may not come in a prayer form. They may just be a declaration of God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love and greatness. Some of our songs are like that, where we're not necessarily praying a prayer or even speaking to God in a sense of requiring something from him. We're just speaking of his attributes, and we're speaking of his love, and we're just some of the songs that we sang today. But those are acts of praying and acts of praise, and they're very meaningful to God. Now this psalm is, it says in my heading in the ESV, it says that it's of David when he changed his behavior before Amalek, so that he drove him out and went away. And the NIV says it's of David when he pretended to be insane before Amalek, who drove him away and he left. We find the context of this in 1 Samuel 21. David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands, made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. That's attractive. Then Achish said to the servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? shall this fellow come into my house? And David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So David was delivered once again from the hands of his enemy in a strange way, pretending to be insane, but yet it worked, and God delivered him again. Now, I find that if I don't want to go to work on a given day, out comes the spittle. You know, you just act a little nuts and you'll get your way, or whatever situation you're in, just the way out is to act crazy and insane. I didn't get that when I first read this heading to this psalm, but there was a way in which God used to deliver David, and David bursts into this psalm, and he writes about God, quite often uses the term deliver or delivered or deliverer. And so I labeled it, the Lord is my deliverer, Psalm 34. Again, Lord, open our eyes, help us to see. This psalm was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by David. It wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. So help us get out of this psalm what you intend for us to understand. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and the rest of you just moaned a little bit. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. We're just going to kind of take it and tear it apart for a little bit. We'll just kind of hurry along here. He starts out by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. And I think that's interesting that we have the capability of blessing the Lord. God doesn't need anything. He's complete in and of himself. So he's not needing affirmation. He's not needing acclamations. He's not needing any of that stuff. But yet somehow we, as puny human beings, can bless the Lord. And the word bless from the Hebrew is an action word. So it's more than just saying, bless you, Lord. It's actions. It's actually living our lives for God, doing things that we know honor God, that blesses God. I just think that's amazing that we have that capability. And of course, we think we're unworthy. How can me, an unworthy being, bless the Lord? Well, Jesus Christ makes us worthy. We bless the Lord. We come before the Father through Jesus Christ. And we praise and worship him and bless him. So I thought that was interesting and exciting, in the fact that our lives aren't just, blah, 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 and, hopefully someday I please the Lord and whatever. But no, we can actually bless. We can choose to bless the Lord and to know that he's, put on a smile on his face or something. We just bless him. Amen? Amen. Amen. He says, bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the word praise has been defined many times, but it means to proclaim the praiseworthy characteristics of God, to proclaim his attributes and his deeds. So when we're praising God, and again, you see it in our songs, we're declaring what God is and who he is and that he's love. That one song we sang, that God is love, that's what I know. And we're singing of his attributes. We're singing of his goodness and his mercy and his steadfast love. We're singing that he's holy, 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 holy. That wasn't bad, was it? That's the only words I know, but, So praise is praise him. The praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that reminds me, of course, of 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. The psalmist says, bless the Lord at all times. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, one thing we have to be careful of, and we have to see that little word in, because it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. We can't give thanks to God for tragedy and sorrow and pain and agony and and the various things that happen to us in our life, we don't give thanks for those things. But we can give thanks in the midst of them. Thanks to God for who he is and what he's going to do in bringing deliverance in my life. So in all circumstances, we can praise him in the midst of those circumstances. But we definitely don't praise him for the circumstance. Amen? Praise the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Then he says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. And really, the psalmist is expressing his dependence on God. He's saying, my boast is in the Lord. I don't depend on myself, my own strength, or anyone else, or any other God. I boast in the Lord because he is the one that is there and is dependable and is providing and is the one that we go to in times of need. So my soul boasts in the Lord. It says, let the humble be glad. And the word humble means afflicted or oppressed. And I'm wondering, how can we be glad in the midst of affliction and oppression? How can we be glad when we are afflicted and oppressed? And I would say the answer that the psalmist gives us as we go through the psalm is because God delivers us out of them all. All of the oppression and all of the affliction that the righteous may suffer, God delivers them all out of it. So, and then he says, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Magnify just means to make great. Greatness. So as we give to the Lord, you know, our praise and we talk about how great he is and we magnify him, his greatness, and to speak of his greatness and his mercy and such. And to exalt means to lift up on high. And so we are elevating our understanding of God in our minds and our hearts, and we lift up on high the name of our God. This was an invitation to worship. The psalmist invited us into a time of worship, to worship him. As we pray through this psalm, we are invited to bless and praise our God continually. We acknowledge the greatness of God, rejoice in who he is, declare his attributes and his character and mighty deeds, and we lift up on high his holy name. Amen? Amen. Next, the psalmist gives us personal testimony of God's deliverance and speaks of the psalmist's confidence in God. In verses 4 through 7 in Psalm 34, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. This is important. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Now, the word sought there is translated, it's never used of seeking someone or something whose location is unknown. So it's not like the psalmist was seeking God. Where are you, God? You know, as though God was hiding or God was, you know, out there somewhere and the psalmist couldn't find him. It says that when one seeks God in this fashion, one does so knowing full well where God is, but is seeking either restored relationship with him or most commonly information, guidance, or direction. So seeking the Lord is purposeful. We're seeking him for something specific. We need to be delivered from the works of our enemy. So we're seeking God for that deliverance. We need a healing in our body. So we're seeking God for that healing. We need forgiveness, so we're seeking God for forgiveness. So it's always about seeking something specific. Such seeking is serious, purposeful searching. It's not confused wondering or wandering. The psalmist's search was rewarded by an answer from God and deliverance from all his fears. So he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So David, the psalmist, was seeking God to be delivered from all of his fears, and God answered him. And then it goes on to say, those who look at him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Now, the idea of radiant faces and ashamed faces is just the idea that there's a joy. Those who seek him, those who look to him are radiant. There's a joy that exudes from them because there's a confidence in them that their God is near them and their God answers their prayers and answers the need to be delivered. In Psalm 4:6, it's used this way. There are many who say, who shall show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord, because the face of the Lord is radiant. Amen. And it's his glory. And so when we are involved in trusting the Lord, our face is that of radiance and glory and joyful. As compared to being ashamed, the word ashamed means to feel dismay, to be disgraced, to be humiliated, to be in confusion. And that's not the face that God wants you to have. God wants us to trust him, and in that he'll take away all shame. He'll take away all dismay, all disgrace, all humiliation, and confusion that may be in our life. To trust in him, as the word came today through Bob, is just to trust in the Lord. And as we trust in him, we will develop a radiant glow of the Spirit of God within us. Those who look to the Lord will be brightened, expressing joy, opposed to the downcast features of those who are ashamed. So I encourage each and every one of you today to trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord in your circumstance. Now, that's an easy thing to say. You know, it's when everything's coming on you and everything's coming against you, and shame is a tough thing to overcome, because it speaks to the very inner core of our being. But in Christ, we have no shame. In God, we have no shame. And we can be a people of radiant faces. I have a radiant face because just my bald head and the lights. So all of you who are bald, you know what I'm talking about. Then he said, there you go. I thought I'd get an amen out of that. Then he says, this poor man cried to the Lord. And the word there means afflicted and oppressed again. This afflicted and oppressed man cried. And that word cried means to summon. This afflicted and oppressed man summoned the Lord. And listen to this. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. There's some wonderful truths in here that we can grab hold of as we're going through this. We put ourselves in that and we say, we know that we have been afflicted and oppressed, and we cry out to the Lord. We summon the Lord and say, oh, Lord, deliver me from this. And the response that the psalmist has testifies to is that the Lord will hear you and he will save you out of all your troubles. The afflicted and oppressed are encouraged to call on the Lord in regard to their affliction or oppression, and God will answer. Thank God we have a God that answers. I said, thank God we have a God that answers. Amen. Amen. I love amens. As we continue in this psalm, we see that the Lord is responsive to our inquiring of him. During times of distress and troubles, we are called to turn to the Lord, to call on him, and he will save us out of all our troubles. Next, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So the first criteria here in getting this angel thing going is the fear of the Lord. And fear here means to be reverent. It doesn't mean to be terrified. And there may be episodes in which the scriptures talk about a person being terrified in the presence of the Lord. And then the angel has to say, fear not. You know, be cool, be calm. You know, you're under the blood. Amen. You're accepted by Christ. You're okay. But here, fear means to reverence or honor the Lord. So it says, those who honor the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around them and delivers them. Now we talk about angels, and that's a big subject. We don't think much about them, at least as a whole we don't. But they are very present in the ministry of God in our lives. They're a very real force that's at work in the kingdom of God, doing the things of God on behalf of the saints. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So they're ministering spirits. And then there's lots of them. I know that's not a very, it's kind of a crass way of saying, but there's lots and lots of them. Yeah, there just is. It's unbelievable. In 2 Kings 6, we have an episode where a servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out. Behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, master, what shall we do? And the master said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes so that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. And so this servant couldn't see the angelic army that was on the side of Elijah and him in the battle that he was to face. All he saw was a natural army, and they were a big army. But Elijah said, no. The Lord opened his eyes to see the incredible army that is encamped round about them to war on their behalf. Jesus said in Matthew 26, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, I don't know for sure what a legion is. I've read different things that said they're this and this and this. But you get 12 legions of them. And most of the communication that the Bible is trying to tell us is just to say there's an innumerable, there's a lot of them that can't be, you just can't count them. There's just so many, like the stars, you just can't count them. There's just too many. And in Psalm 91, it says, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you in your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Angels are all around us, doing God's bidding on our behalf. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, talking about the angels. A host is bigger than a legion. It is. I didn't make that up. The next one I'm going to make. No. All his hosts, all his ministers who do his will. I mean, that's got to bring a sense of confidence in your walk, in this war that we're in this life. We have angels that do God's bidding and that are concerned about us. God sends them to do war on our behalf. And so we don't think about them much, at least as a whole. We don't need to. We don't need to get all freaked out about it and spend our time, investigating angels and stuff. You just need to know that this mighty army is on our side and is there to minister to us. It says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. The word encamps just means surrounds. I pray this every morning. I pray, Lord, I pray that the angels would encamp round about me, protect me, keep me safe from accident and harm. I drive part-time bus for special need kids. And I just want those kids to be protected. And there are a lot of crazy drivers out there. And then once I hit the road, but I try my hardest to be observant and to watch and to look, and you know, but things happen, and so I don't live in fear, but I live in confidence that there are even angels that watch out for this. And so I pray, Lord, let the angels encamp round about me today and keep me safe from accident and harm. So far, it's been going good. Amen. Expect it to continue. Here is the time in praying this psalm for acknowledging God's supernatural provision. So the psalmist is telling us about God's supernatural provision. Part of our inheritance in the kingdom of God is God's protective forces as demonstrated in the ministry of angels. And then the psalmist invites us to experience and know the Lord, know the Lord's goodness. In Psalm 34, 8 and 10, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions will suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The word taste means to experience. He is inviting us to experience the goodness of God. And the word see means to know. So, oh, experience and know that the Lord is good. And we've talked about the goodness of God before, and God is just good. Experience and know that he is. And he says, "But blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And that just simply means to take refuge means to trust him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And he goes on to say again, "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." And then the next verse, "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So here again, fear the Lord, the reverence, to reverence God, because in him there is no lack. And those who seek God for their provisions will lack no good thing. God is good. The rest of this psalm he kind of goes into the format of proverbs, being proverbs. And proverbs are just pithy statements that relay a truth. You know, da-da-da-da-da, line two, da-da-da-da-da. You know, and it goes back and forth like that. And in doing this, he's contrasting quite often the righteous and the wicked. He says in verse 11, "Oh, come, O children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it." And that's kind of an obvious thing. You know, he's just giving us instructions about how we may see life and many days and see good. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." So the eyes of the Lord, you could really say the face of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. But then also the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Now this idea of the face of the Lord is again his looking upon us in favor. Now, when it comes to the wicked, I believe that they see his face and their conviction is such that they run away and turn away from God. But when he faces the righteous, he's facing us in the sense that we can receive his favor in our lives. His glance is upon us. He's facing us with intention to do good and to bless us. I love the blessing that Aaron gave under the instructions of the Lord to Israel. And you're very familiar with it. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, his favor. Make his favor shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. And again, that's his face. And his goodness is just lifted up. You just kind of get an idea. You see this big face, you know, with looking at you. But it's full of favor and grace that he wants to bestow upon our lives. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And again, the face shining towards us is God's favor. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So again, the idea that when we cry out to God, he hears us and he will deliver us from all of our troubles. That's been a word that I recently have been using in prayer in my life, and I think it's because of this psalm. But I'll cry out, O Lord, deliver me from. I recently hurt my back, and my cry to the Lord is, oh, Lord, deliver me from this. And he's answering it. My back is getting better, praise God. But you cry out to the Lord to be delivered from your circumstance, to be delivered from your situation. Oh, Lord, deliver me from. And he delivers us out of all of our troubles. It says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Broken heart. That happens a lot in our society. The heart is the inner person, the self, the seat of thought and emotion and conscience and courage and mind and understanding. It's the inner person. It's our very being. It's our self. It's who we are, that inner person, that heart. And sometimes that gets broken. And God will heal it and make it better. Amen. He's near to the brokenhearted. He doesn't cast them away. He doesn't think, well, you're just kind of on, you know, a bad level here. I don't associate with that. No, he's near to the brokenhearted, to deliver them from the thing that broke their heart. And he saves the crushed in spirit. I thought the wording of that was interesting, that the spirit of man can get crushed under the weight of oppression and affliction and a broken heart. It can crush the spirit. But God heals that and enters into that place with us and lifts us out of it and heals the brokenhearted. Finishing up here, verse 19 through 22, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Again, this idea of being delivered. He keeps all his bones and not one of them is broken. And I thought that was an odd phrase to put in the midst of this thing. And it's actually quoted talking about Jesus when he was on the cross. The Roman soldiers came to break the legs of those who were hanging on the cross so it would speed up their death because they wouldn't be able to stand up to get a grasp of breath. And so they broke the legs of both the criminals and they came to Jesus and he had already died and he didn't break his legs. And so that was quoted and I thought that's an interesting place for that to be in this psalm. But I got thinking about it. The word afflictions here in this place, in this verse, means the working of evil and wickedness. And there were evil and wickedness was certainly at work in the crucifixion. You know, the enemy, the spiritual enemy of God, thought that they had Jesus right where they wanted him. And they were at work, and they were trying to establish their will. But it said that the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers them out of them all to the point where even his bones are not broken. that wickedness could not get to Jesus in the way that they wanted to. And I just thought that's interesting for us, that the afflictions of the righteous, the wicked working against us, the Lord delivers us out of them all. You know, we can't lose for winning, is what they say. We can't lose when God's on our side. Something happens, an oppressive thing, an affliction happens, and we can be delivered. Amen. I mean, that's good. You know, the Lord delivers them out of them all. So here was an encouragement to trust the Lord for our life. Now, what did we just do besides sleep through a good part of this? Just kidding. Just kidding. We prayed through a psalm. And I got four things that I just want to say about this. And first of all, it says in 2 Samuel 22, David again was delivered by the Lord. And it says in 2 Samuel 22:1, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. And it ended up, it's Psalm 18 is what it is. David goes on to, they go down on in the scriptures to write out what the psalm was that David spoke. And I just thought it was interesting because sometimes you look at a psalm and you think, that just doesn't sound like a prayer. You know, that it sounds like something else. It sounds like praise, or it just sounds like we've gone through this where it sounds like just testimony of what God can do and God does do and so forth and so on. But we need to consider that when we speak this psalm back to God, it is an act of prayer. And that's good news for me because there are a lot of psalms. And so I'd like to do a lot of speaking. Amen. I read them before and I appreciated the psalms for what they were. But I never thought of them as praying. And so now I can sit before God and I can read back to him his words that were written to me, to you. And we speak the words of this song. A couple things I just want us to get here is, number one, get familiar with the psalm that you want to pray. You know, maybe there's a psalm that's kind of on your heart. Get familiar with this content like we did today. You don't have to go quite extensively, but you need to understand what it is you're going to pray or what it is the psalm is saying. So it may take a little work first. Read it through to yourself a few times, getting familiar with its teaching, so that you're not just approaching it for the first time and not quite sure what it's even going to say, and because that won't be quite as heartfelt, you know, compared to getting to know the psalm, so that as you read it, it comes from your heart to God. So take some time to meditate on it, read it to yourself a few times, tear it apart like we did. It may be a day or so before you can use this psalm as a prayer because you're working on getting to understanding of it. What does it mean when he talks about, you know, the righteous this and the wicked that and God will deliver me from this and whatever. What is he saying? And again, you don't necessarily have to do what I did today. But meditate on it. Get familiar with the psalm so that when you do read it out to the Lord, you know what it's saying and you know where you're going with it. And then read the psalm out loud to the Lord. David spoke to the Lord the song, the psalm. Read the psalm out loud to the Lord. And that's an act of prayer. Amen. Amen. And then stop when a passage speaks to you or your situation in life and pray the passage back to the Lord. You know, if you're going through it and you think, man, that's a promise from God and that hits me right where I'm at in life. And so you take and you pray that back to the Lord and lay hold of the provision that it communicates to you. If it communicates deliverance from all your fears, if it communicates deliverance from your oppression, if it, you know, all of that, lay hold of that promise. Lay hold of that provision because it's yours. God spoke it to us. And then number four, when reading the psalm, stop to worship the Lord, for all the psalm reveals about God to you. Just get into it and let it, as it speaks to you, stop and worship God with it. Or even without it, you're just reading something and it just blesses your socks off. And you just, Lord, I just bless you. I thank you for this. I thank you for this revelation. I thank you for what this word says to me. And just take a time to worship in the midst of it. And the psalm comes alive and it becomes a part of who you are. So meditate on it. Read it out loud. Get familiar with it. Read it out loud to yourself and then read it out loud to the Lord. And worship with it as you go through it. Amen. That's all I got today. That's quite a bit, isn't it? Yeah. I looked at the you can come up, Karen. I looked at the insert today and I saw the two front and back. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this guy has got long wind going on. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the Psalms. And as we read them through, speak to our hearts as they are meant to do anyway. Lord, help us to see and understand all that you are and who you are in the midst of these Psalms as they speak to us. And I pray today if there's anyone here that needs to be delivered from whatever it may be, oppression, affliction, just a rough situation that you're in, need some understanding about things, you need guidance about things, Lord, deliver us and set us free from all of those situations. Bring answers to us and bring deliverance to us as we seek you and seek you for this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.